2 Kings chapter number 17. Let's stand together and we'll read a few verses here and then we'll pray and be seated. 2 Kings 17. And look at beginning in verse number 7. The Bible says, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen, and the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and out of the kings of Israel, which they had made. The children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, where the Lord had said unto them, 'You shall not do this thing.' Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, 'Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servant the prophets.' Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, and that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." Now, I want to preach tonight on this question, and this really, I think, applies to every age group in this building, most especially teenagers on up to older age. But I want to ask you this question tonight: who are your seers? Who are your seers? If I can just jump ahead of myself, who is it in your life that you run things by? Who is it in your life that you allow them to tell you what they're seeing that you're not seeing in your own life, or about some decision that you need to make? Who are your seers? Let's pray. Lord, would you challenge us tonight from your word, from this truth? I pray it'll help each one of us, and we'll thank you for what you do. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. Israel was a blessed people, just like you and I. We kind of talked about that this morning. But they had become a backslidden people. They became filled with stuff and filled with self, much like many Christians today. And so in our passage here, we're reading how that God's people allowed worldliness into their life. Look at verse number 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. All right, so God's people had been blessed, but they were living backslidden. They had allowed worldliness into their life. Not only that, but God's people had started meddling with secret sins. Look at verse number 9 there. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord, their God. Let me ask you a question tonight. You have a secret sin? Are you just hoping no one heard your language this week? Are you hoping no one tells repeats that you're the one that told them that dirty joke? Are you the one that comes to church and acts like a Christian but goes home and acts like the devil? The Bible says they had allowed worldliness into their life. They started meddling with some secret sins. But here's the thing. God sent his men to warn them of the error of their ways and to challenge them to return to a right path. There are prophets in the Old Testament that you read about that were preaching at this time when Israel was sinning and backsliding so badly. The prophet Hosea was one of those men that was getting up and preaching the word of God to these people. The prophet Hosea warned them that Israel had forgotten his maker. He challenged them to break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. The prophet Amos was one of those prophets that preached to this time, to this particular group of people who were backslidden. And Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? He warned them that the people of God were at ease in Zion and that there was a famine of hearing of the word of the Lord. But no matter what the prophet said, the people would not listen. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servant the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their hearts like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. That was the people of God in that time, and that's too many of the people of God in the day and age in which we live. And may I remind you, as a preacher is preaching and we are rejecting the truth of the Word of God and living in our backslidden ways and living with our secret sin, let me remind you, as you harden your neck, young person, or as you harden your neck, adult, week after week, that he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Israel was conquered. And they were taken into captivity by the Assyrians. We see that in verse number 18. Therefore, they wouldn't listen. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And we read about the tribe of Judah in Daniel and in Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther. And they're going back and they're rebuilding Jerusalem and they're rebuilding the temple and all of those things. That was Judah. That was a southern kingdom. When God said, that is the end, that is enough of that northern kingdom, friend, these people did not assemble back together again until 1948 when Israel became a state. And he said, I will not make a full end of you, but I'm going to tell you what, they messed it up for a lot of generations to come. Did you hear me? They messed it up for a lot of generations to come because they would not get right with God. They would not go forth with a soft heart. All because they would not listen to the preachers. My question to you tonight is this. Who are your seers? The Bible says in verse 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers. A seer really is just another name for a prophet. By definition, a seer sees. There are no biblical prophets today. They're not out there. These people that claim to be prophets. We have a completed Bible, a completed canon of scriptures. We don't need, there's no new prophecy. So there are no biblical prophets today. There are no biblical seers today in that sense. However, God still gives us the gift of people in our life who can see what we're not seeing. You know, love or charity covers a multitude of sins, and we're pretty in love with ourselves. So sometimes we're not seeing the error of our way, or sometimes we're not seeing what could be the fallout to the decision that we're about to make. And the Bible says over in Ephesians that we're to walk circumspectly. We're to make decisions. We're to walk cautiously. We're to walk in the sense of every choice we make is going to have a consequence. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I'm saying to you tonight, we all need seers in our life. Now, a good seer will tell us what we're maybe not seeing about a situation. A seer today is not a prophet, but usually is a person who has been through what we're going through. Unfortunately, we live in the last days where men, women, and teenagers, as the Bible says, are lovers of their own selves. I've got it all figured out. I don't need anyone's opinion. I don't need anyone's advice. These are my plans. These are the decisions we make. Can I remind you of a couple of verses? Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I got it figured out. I don't need anybody to tell. I don't need counseling. I don't need help. I don't need to run it by anyone. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Who are your counselors? Who are your seers? Now, seriously, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Who are the people you talk to? Where do you get your counsel from? I made a list of who my seers are. My dad is my seer. Isn't that funny? He's my seer. By the way, young men, he's my seer because he's my dad. Your parents are your seers. Oh, parents don't know anything. No, numbskull. You're the one who doesn't know anything. You haven't even faced life yet. My dad is my seer as my parent, but guess what? He's also my pastor. Isn't that funny? He's my pastor. I'm his pastor. How's that work? My mom is my seer. Some of you men, you're like Tarzan. You think no lady could ever give you advice on anything. Can I quote Bob Smith? You're dumber than a rock. My mom is my seer. She may see things. She may bring something to light that I need to listen to. We all need seers in our life. Bob Smith is one of my seers. I can call him on the phone. Hello, son. I said, Brother Smith, let me run something by you because I'm just not sure if I'm making a right decision here. I was telling him the other day, I said, Brother Smith, they were up at the conference and I don't know if it was last weekend or when it was. But I said, Brother Smith, I said, I'm concerned right now. I said, our church has been in a 2-month rut and I want us to pull out of it. And he's like, well, son, you know, you've been in it long. If you know that's what happens in churches. You go here and you go there and it's up and down and it's up and down. I said, yeah, Brother Smith, but I don't want to stay there. Bob Smith is my seer. Brother Terry Angel is my seer. He's one of my counselors. We were talking the other day at the conference about, I was talking with him about the church and about where we are and about my parents, of course, moving here. And he's always asking me, how old are your kids now? And so forth. In fact, Miss Angel, Sarah, you get a kick out of this. Miss Angel said, are you a grandparent yet? And Brother Angel was like, Joyce, she's not even married yet. And I said, she's being stubborn, but we'll get to that one of these days. But Brother Angel, and he said this. Brother Angel said, hey, I said, 21 years. He said, aren't you glad you didn't leave all those years ago? That was January 2008 when I felt like God was moving us to start a church. And I sat down and had lunch with Brother Angel because I knew my dad was going to err on the side of Wills Point and Trinity. I knew Bob Smith was going to err on the side of Wills Point and Trinity. So I had to have somebody that had nothing to do with Wills Point. And I sat down and had lunch with him. So Brother Angel, I believe God's moving us. And I had some questions. And he's the one that told me, he said, as long as there are questions, you don't make a move. And that was 2008. That was, I guess I'd just been pastor about 8 years, 8 years at that point. And look at what God's doing today. We don't have a large church, but we have a quality church. We have a good church. But that's because I have some seers. I don't know everything. Brother David Grice is one of my seers. Kind of gets me in trouble. But he's one of my seers. I can text him. I can call him. I can talk to him. And we'll go on a date with our wives every couple of months. And we'll sit down. That's something else I plan without asking you. I have to tell you later what the date is on that. But I'm going to wear her out. But Brother Grice is not just a friend, but we encourage one another. We talk with one another. We give advice to one another. We counsel with one another. Hey, listen, my number one seer is my wife. Some of you guys, you won't listen to your wife for anything. And I know why, because we'll argue about it. Because sometimes she tells me things I don't want to hear. Because I dream big and I dream out loud. Sometimes she'll pull those feet right back to the ground and say, why don't we, let's, and I'm like, I've already added it up. Here's what it'll take cost-wise to finish the outside of the house, and we can do this, and we're going to do this over there, and then we're going to do this. She's like, can we just finish the bathroom? And then, y'all with me? Your spouse ought to be your number one seer, because guess what? You better let them see. You better ask them what they're seeing, because they're in it with you. And you treat them like they don't have an opinion. Yeah, they do. They are you. You're one flesh. I'll even throw something else out at you. You know what I've done in the last 10 weeks? As a 46-year-old, nearly 47 years old now, the last 10 weeks, you know what I've done? I've sought advice and counsel from young preachers. I'm not saying that to say to be proudly humble. I really have. Why? Because 21 years into pastoring, if I'm not careful, I'll just kind of ride this thing out and say, well, you know, we tried this and we've tried that. By the way, in the teacher's meeting, I'm not trying to be ugly. These folks are my friends. But in the teacher's meeting a minute ago, I said, you know, the group that I think needs revival more than any other group in the church is the 40-somethings. I'm talking about in our church. Because our kids are growing up, we have our careers down, we kind of have our goals down, we know where we're headed, we've been doing the ministry thing for a while, and if we're not careful, we'll lose the zeal that we need to serve God. We'll think we have it all figured out, and we'll look up, and all we're doing really is going through the motions. And there are times I do that, but I don't want to live that way. I don't want to do that forever. So for the past 10 weeks, I've had opportunities to preach places and be places. And I have sat down with Brother Johnny Che and said, hey, tell me what you're doing. I've sat down with Brother Luke Bishop, who's not too much younger than me, but he's only been pastoring 1 year, and said, man, tell me what it is in your church. Where does the zeal come from? I said, where does the growth come from? He said, Brother Jeremy, the number one key to growth in our church right now is the people in the church getting excited about being in this church and inviting people to their church. Amen. And we just got done with a month-long campaign. There's some in here, you never invited one person. Well, I've tried it all. No, you're backslidden. You're used to what we have. Your kids come to church, and they have the choirs, and they have the classes, and they have the carnivals, and they have everything they want, and you need to get fire lit underneath you. Good, I say to you, 40-son, step up or step out of the way. Man, I want to go forward. I began to make a list. I began to talk to these young men, even Brother Bryce. He's been in a little bit less time than I have. He's older than me. He's an old man, but a little bit less time in pastoring. And I knew God was in it, because as that Brother Graff's been pastor there, I think 10, 11 years, I think maybe they said. And I'm asking, I'm getting ideas, and I'm wanting to know, and I'm making a list. And I knew God was in it when we went to the conference, and for 21 years I've gone to conferences where the 60 and 70, 80-year-olds are preaching, and it's all a bunch of 20-somethings and 30-somethings. And every single message was a challenge to me as a preacher. I began to make a list 10 weeks ago. And one thing about me, you find us in a rut, you're not going to find me hanging out in that rut for too long. I want to be challenged. If I'm not challenged, I'm bored to death. And I want to do something. I don't want to sit in a rut and just say, well, that's just the way it is now. Well, let's find a way to fix it. Or let's change the way we're doing things. I'm glad the buses are up. They've been up the last 3 weeks. Had they continued down the path we were on, I was already in my mind thinking, we're going to vans. We're going to start running a bunch of vans. I'm not trying to get rid of the buses. What I'm saying to you is I'm not sitting in a rut. Right. I'm not going to let a Sunday school class sit in a rut. I don't, as a preacher, want to get in a rut in preaching the Word of God. Man, we need to keep our mind and our motivation, our goals. We need to stay fresh. I begin to make a list of things we could do outside of just soul winning and campaigns and bus visitation and all the normal things that we do. And I began to make a list of 10 or 12 things. And of course, our every door direct mail and things like that. And Facebook, you can advertise your Facebook page. Our church page hasn't been touched in 5 years because I don't really want to do it. But we have some plans on that now. And it is something to work to get the word out about your church. And friend, listen, if you saw my list, maybe some of these will never come to fruition, but I'm going to be praying about it. And they come to fruition because people of God say, that's my ministry. I want to get involved in that. I've talked about a jail ministry forever. I know the coronavirus has some things shut down, but somebody needs to take that and run with that. We finally got the Every Door Direct Mail going when Miss Parker took it and ran with it and knew what she was doing, and we're going to do that again. Friend, listen, I've got on my list there, what about like a radio station? I'm not leaving everything up to Parkside Baptist Church. I'm not leaving it all up to Trinity and Arlington. And I'm saying to you, we may not grow way up that way as quick as we want to, but we can expand the ministries. But it's going to take some of us with some experience to get off our duff and quit just expecting the norm and say, listen, we need to ruffle our nest a little bit, and we need to get busy doing the things of God. Now, that happened because I talked to my seers. And I say, I don't want at 21 to just ride this thing out to the end. Who are your seers? Who can tell you no? Who can tell you that's not a right path? Who can tell you your attitude stinks? Who can tell you you're backslidden Can anyone? Can a few someones? Or can no one? Let me warn you tonight, no matter your age, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There are four types of counsel that we will receive, and only one is good and helpful. Let me give these to you quickly, and we'll go home tonight. Four types of counsel that we'll receive, and only one is good and helpful. Number one is this. We will be tempted to be counseled by conceit. We will be tempted to be counseled by conceit. Say, preacher, what do you mean? I've got it all figured out. I don't need the old men telling me how to run this thing. I don't need my wife telling me as a man how to make financial decisions in my home and how to make this decision and that decision. I dead sure don't need nobody younger than me. You're foolish. I thought about King Saul, who became so selfish and self-centered, listen, that he made enemies out of the ones who were only trying to help him. We read about it, and I read it to you in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites." That raises a flag, Benjamites. Man, this was of his family. "Will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me? And there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. There is none of you that is sorry for me or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day." So people that really wanted to help him, all of a sudden he's acting like they're the enemies. So we're going to be tempted to be counseled by conceit. We've got it figured out. We've got a plan. We've got it all. We don't need anyone. Hey, well, everybody just gives me their opinions. And they just think this about me and that about me. And I know they do. Listen to me. Why don't you just grow up? Why don't you just grow up? That's drama you don't need in your life. Well, I know they're talking about us. That's childish stuff. Well, I know they talk about the way I parent. That is childish stuff. Well, I know they're talking about us because we got married young. That is childish stuff. Who cares about that kind of stuff? Grow up and grow in the Lord and get over yourself and quit being counseled by conceit. Number two is this. We'll be tempted to only be counseled by our contemporaries. We'll be tempted to only be counseled by our contemporaries. Now, it's not always bad to get advice and to learn lessons from people your age. A lot of our deacons are my age. I want their thoughts. I want their advice. But we must not allow ourselves to only receive counsel from our contemporaries. If your seers are only as experienced as you are, it may lead to trouble. You young people, you're listening to your buddies rather than listening to your parents. That's just dumb. We get in our 20s and we think, well, we had a baby for a week now. We know it all about parenting and we quit listening to our parent. And I realize, we're going to say something about it in a minute. I realize sometimes we give unsought advice, but for listening, you don't just cut your parents off. You were raised fine, you lived fine, you made it, and all of a sudden you're reading a blog written by someone else who's been a parent for a week or been married for a year, and you've got all the answers. It's okay to get advice from people your age. It is not okay to only seek advice from people your age. Case in point, how about Rehoboam? 1 Kings chapter number 12, the Bible says in verse number, we back up here, verse number 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. That's like Brother Orm's age and above. The King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto them, unto this people this day, and wilt serve them," by the way, that's a good piece of advice. "If thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then will they be thy servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. It's a dangerous place to be. Even you older ones, it's a dangerous place to get so stinking old and set in your ways that you won't allow any advice from anyone that's a day younger than you. Can I tell you a pet peeve of mine? Just don't even do this around me. I can't stand it. When someone's a certain age and someone's maybe 2 years younger than me, you know, man, I'll tell you what, wait till you're my age. Listen, it hurts when you're 18 sometimes when you get out of bed. Sometimes when you're 25, when you're 30, when you're 35, when you're 40. I realize it's different, but don't turn into that grumpy old person that anybody who's a day younger than you, they just don't understand what pain is. They don't understand what tired is. I hear people say that, and somebody will say, well, I'm 80, and somebody will say, I'm 78. They'll say, you're just a kid. Can't we all just admit we're growing older and grumpier? We'll be tempted to only be counseled by contemporaries. Let me give you the third one. Without requesting it, we will be counseled by commentators. There will always be the crowd that has to offer their opinion or rude comment about everything. And guess what? It knows no age. That's why you have to be careful online on social media. There are times I want to defend. Brother Nielsen posted something the other day about this is why I dress up to church. I don't want to make the sacred common. And a missionary that we supported for years throws a verse in there at him that says, well, that what God hath cleansed, that actually pretend what God hath cleansed, call not that common. Completely taken out of text. He was telling him that Gentiles could be saved also. And boy, I was tempted. I thought, you stinking rascal, that fellow supported you too. And you're going to be a jerk like that because you compromised everything in your life. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's not my business. It's just not my business. You ever had those comments pop up on your social media and you see where someone else commented on something? Man, some of us need to learn. Not everything is our business. Can I remind us all this truth tonight? I had it written in the front of my Bible. Unsought advice is seldom followed and often resented. Just because you're older doesn't mean you have to offer a bunch of slinging out constantly. I'll tell you what, I'd do this and I wouldn't do that. We are pastoring in a different world today. We are parenting in a different world today than 20 years ago. I promise you. Is parenting hard? Yeah, it's always hard for all of us. But it's a different world. That, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know why they do this and I don't know why they do that. You don't have to always understand it. For those of us in here that constantly throw out opinions and no one's asking us or no one's talking to us or it's not like a conversation, it's just we hear about something, we sling it out there. Let me remind you of a few verses. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Ecclesiastes 5 in that chapter says, a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. So, my unsought advice to all of us tonight is to quit giving unsought advice to others. I understand you parents want to help your kids with their babies, but I'm just telling you, you have to get to that place. I had to get to that place with Sarah, just turned 21, and Miss Audrey reminded me once, she's not a kid anymore. What's because she lives in my house? But you can't, don't talk to her like a kid, don't treat her like a kid. You got kids in their 20s, 30s, 40s, don't treat them like a kid. Well, I don't know why they're doing that as a parent. That's not your business. They're the parent of that child, whether that child is 6 weeks old or 16 years old. It's not the same situation. It's not your house. You're not going to fully understand everything that they do. And I'm just telling you, if you want a good relationship with your kids, stay out of their business. Listening? Quiet. I'm having to learn it now. So I'm right there with you. Sometimes you just have to say, why? Because I want to see my grandkids one day. One day. Because I don't understand every situation. I don't understand Richard and Janice's every situation. I don't understand Daniel and Sage's. I don't understand their every situation. So we have to be careful about, well, I'll tell you what, we go all poppy neck on everybody. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'll tell you. Who are your seers tonight? Let me finish. We will be tempted to be counseled by conceit. Think about it for just a minute. When is the last time you went to anyone else for any kind of advice in your life? You know, that's why God gave you a spouse. And if you still have one, you ought to be grateful for it. Because I don't have a spouse anymore, or I don't have a spouse yet. Well, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us if we're without a spouse, we can grow as close to the Lord as we want to be. Go read that chapter. And I realize that God is a mighty counselor, wonderful counselor. I understand the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. I understand those. We're just talking about people tonight in our life. We'll be tempted to be counseled by conceit. I don't need anyone telling me what to do. This is a plan I'm going to make. We'll be tempted to only be counseled by contemporaries. I'm going to ask the guys my age because they're all going to agree with me. But I need to ask the older. See, the reason, there are two reasons older people, I believe that older people give a lot of advice. Number one is they're trying to get you to listen and you're just never asking and they're trying. They don't want to see you wreck your life. Number two is because I believe the older you get, what I see is the older you get, you still want to feel important. You still want to feel like you matter. So if some of us would just learn to start asking the older people in our life, and our kids, as they've been growing up, especially when they were small, I didn't want to run to the emergency room every 2 days. You know what I wanted? I wanted her to call grandma. What's grandma's recipe? Grandma's probably got something they could take for this. Maybe you have to change it a little bit. Whatever's in that cough syrup. We'll go out and spend $1 billion now. Because we ain't about to ask the parents or grandparents that raised us perfectly fine what maybe we could take to get that fever down. We're going to the emergency room. We're going to the emergency room. Unsought advice. I'd hate to see some of y'all's hospital bills. We'll be tempted to be counseled by conceit. We'll be tempted to only be counseled by contemporaries. Without requesting it, we will be counseled by commentators. I heard somebody say this. How did they put it? If you wouldn't go to advice for them, don't worry about their opinion of you. Something like that. People constantly have an opinion. They have an idea. But if you would never ask them for advice anyways, who gives a rip what their opinion is of you? Just ignore it. Here's the last one. Here's the good one. The good and helpful counsel will come from seers. So we have counsel by conceit, counsel by contemporaries, counsel by commentators, counsel by seers. Hey, preacher, that's not a C word. Right. Because the right kind of counselors in your life will stand out from all the rest. We need seers. Listening to the seers would have saved Israel from destruction. What is a seer? Oh, I don't need to ask permission. It's not asking permission. What is a seer? Preacher, I'm about to buy a vehicle and just want to see what you thought about it. Now, I'm not saying everybody come to me. You don't have to come to me for everything, and I don't want you to. Preacher, I'm thinking about getting married. What? Just want to see what you see. Preacher, we're thinking about buying a house or go to someone. Like I've had people come to me and ask me about some financial stuff here and there. And I've given them a little advice and I'll say something like this. I'll say, you need to go talk to Brother Greg. Brother Greg's a finance guy. Go talk to him. He'll probably give you a pretty low interest rate too. But I already take lawnmower wheels for collateral sometimes. But I'm saying in our life we have to have some people. Not people that we run around telling everybody what we're already planning and we've already halfway signed on. Just so we make ourselves feel good, but we need some people that we talk to. Younger than us, sometimes. Our age, wonderful. Older, perfect. We need seers. Think about it tonight when you go home. Really, who is it you get advice from? They're going to tell us sometimes what we don't want to hear. You know what I found? Even when talking to my wife, a lot of times they tell us the things we know down deep. We needed to hear. We know we can't afford that. We're just finagling it all. I got to figure it out. If I can work 80 hours this week and 30 hours that week, and I get that same bonus last year that I got this year, and then if you could put in 20 hours, and if we could do this and I could do that, well, I think we could do it. Let's do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There ought to be one spouse that says, pull back the reins.
You just don't love me.
No, thank God, that is a seer in your life. And some of you adults, you ignore your parents in the area of advice because you know what they would say, and you know most likely what they would say is exactly what really ought to be happening. We need seers.